I can't tell you how grateful Stacy and I are for being here and this journey that we have been on. And that's something that, time to come, I want to share more and more of that journey that the Lord has took us on, because from where we have come from, we had no intention of thinking that we would ever be leaving Idaho. We have a house with chickens, not chickens in the house, but a church that we had built, and so we just thought we would be there for the rest of our lives. And the Lord has done such a stirring in our hearts, and when we were here in July, we felt at home. And I don't know how else to say that, but we felt at home. And it was like, Lord, is this you? And the stirring started. So the sense I've had ever since then, and Stacy and I have talked about this, and I think you're much more fortunate to have her than you are to have me. So, and I mean that.
Yes. She shot a moose.
Yeah, she did. First time I ever took her hunting, she shot a moose. So she's a better shot than I am, you know. Second time I took her hunting, she got a deer, so that was pretty cool too. Any rate, the sense I had, even when we were here in July all along, is to tell you that you are not broken. There's nothing broken about this church.
Amen.
And I don't know if what that means to some of you. Maybe that means something to some of you than maybe others, but to tell you that you're not broken. And secondly, our journey here is not for the purposes of trying to fix anything.
Amen.
That's not why we're here. We're here to journey with you and to, in a sense, put the pedal to the metal and go for it, full bore, all out. Because I'm no spring chicken, but I still have a lot in the tank, so to speak. So we want to go for it all the way, and we want to walk with you in this journey, and we want to run with you in this journey. So I had just wanted to just briefly share a couple of things apart from that, that it just seemed like the Lord is putting on my heart, and hopefully this will bless you. Psalm 23, the very first verse in Psalm 23 is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And maybe Psalm 23, apart from that gospel today, John 3:16, may be the most well-known passages that we have in the Scripture, because we're so familiar with it. "But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And to spend time with that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want." And considering the words that were already spoken today, and I just chuckled when we look at the psalm and that word that Robert had about the waves, and then we had that psalm, how the Lord confirms things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And just to consider that what we want more than anything is for the Lord to be on full display in our life, absolutely in full display on our life. And, how do we get to that point of, as Terry was saying, trusting him so completely that those areas in our life that are that need to be set free can truly be set free. So a couple of things that I had wanted to share, and sometimes what I do, I think, is ramble a bit, and so I sort of leave it to you to put the pieces together. And so if it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle, then hopefully at the end you can say, "So what was he trying to say?" You know. But we have a friend, her name is Michelle, and I met her at the Voice of the Apostles, which is a thing that this Randy Clark is involved with and the like. And so I don't know if that name is familiar to any of you. But she was telling us recently that in the process of praying with people, the Lord has been bringing her to a point of breakthrough, to where she's been praying with people who have had fourth stage cancer and they're being healed. Fourth stage. There's another individual by the name of Chris Gore who's very involved in the healing rooms, and he was saying, Lord, I want to see more breakthrough. I want to see more breakthrough. And he said the Lord spoke to him very clearly, pray for more people. Just keep praying for more people. So about 2 years ago, Stacy and I were in a store by the name of Fred Meyer, and I don't know if you have Fred Meyer stores out here. Probably don't, because I didn't see anybody go. I didn't really see anybody do this either, but you know. So Fred Meyer is a little bit like kind of a Walmart. And it was in the wintertime, and we were in the store, and there was this gal that came by, and she was in one of those carts that has a kind of motorized thing that you can drive around. And we've been trying to make a concerted effort to walk the talk, and that is to pray for people in the marketplace. So Stacy and I looked at one another, and I said, well, let's just ask her if she would like prayer. So we said, so what happened? And she said, well, that she was the wintertime and snow and ice, and she'd fallen down and really hurt her knee. And I said, well, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah, sure. And I said, well, can we put our hands on your knee? And she said that we could. And just as I was ready to do that, what I heard was, it's not your fault. So I said, I don't know if this means anything to you, but what I just heard was, it's not your fault. She's got these big tears in her eyes. And then she just started to weep, and she said, ever since I fell, I thought it was my fault. I thought I did something wrong. I thought maybe God was punishing me. And then we just prayed for her, and to this day, I don't know if her knee got any better. But what happened for her, it's like this chain came off. And she said, I am so grateful. She just said, I wish more Christians would do this. And I thought, what if we'd missed it? What if we just missed it? And you know as well as I do that it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him. When I was in Uganda with Archbishop Jones, and we were at Bishop Haddington's place where he had set all this up and organized this whole thing. And I really want to be conscious of the time, but the way that Archbishop Jones, and I know that some of you have been with him to Africa, Mike's been a lot, and at least I think he's been a lot. Archbishop Jones, he sets the whole thing up, and then he says, I have this very anointed team that I'm going to have praying with you. And the very first time he said that, I kid you not, I went like this. You know, it's like, okay, oh, that's us, you know. And at any rate, I just wanted to share with you one of the incidences that had happened, because hopefully this will build all of our faith. So I'm standing there with Luke Johnson. So he and I are standing there together, and there's an interpreter by the name of David. I don't know his last name. And this man came up, and he had nice pants, and he had a shirt, and he had a tie. And I don't know if he had much more than that, but that's what he was wearing. And so the interpreter asked what he wanted prayer for, and he said, well, he'd had a headache. And I had to ask Luke later exactly how long he said he had the headache. And Luke confirmed, because sometimes I don't hear as well as I'd like, and he said he'd had the headache since 1980. Every day since 1980. And he had back pain, and he wanted a job, and he couldn't see very well. So at this point, we've been there long enough that our faith gets built, that you start thinking that actually you're expecting healing to happen. So I said, okay, well, let's pray for your head. So we put our hands on his head and took it on, anything changed, and immediately he says, the headache's gone. You know, and you go, yeah, that's, you know. And so he said, well, let's pray for your back. So we put our hands on his back, and he said, all the pain's gone. And I have reading glasses, and so I said, maybe one of the reasons that maybe even had the headache is where you said that you can't see very well and you can't read. Maybe you need reading glasses. So I took my glasses off like this, and I put them in his shirt pocket, and immediately he went down to his knees and put his hands up in the air, which kind of shocked me because I didn't know why he was doing that. And the interpreter said, he's never been given anything like that. And I'm thinking, $9 pair of glasses, you know. And I'm kind of blown away by the whole thing. And so, at any rate, he stands up, and so we, you know, pray for him to have the job. And then the interpreter says, his eyes. I pray for his eyes. And so put my hand over his eyes and pull it away, and he goes, I can see. I mean, it builds up so much faith to think. It's like what Jesus is saying. What is easier to say? Pick up your pallet and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Which is easier? And the last one I wanted to share, and this happened just a couple of weeks ago. I help out at this assisted living place, in particular for elderly people who are going through rehab. Maybe they need a knee replacement or they've broken their hip or whatever. And so I had walked into the room. And you please continue to understand, it has nothing to do with any of us, right? It has everything to do with him. And so she was sitting on the side of her bed, found out she was 72, and asked if I could just pray with her, and she said, yeah, and I started praying, and I said, I just heard new shoes. I said, I don't know if that means anything to you, but I just heard new shoes. And I saw her open her eyes, and she looked over by where the table is that they would kind of bring the food, and she looked over at her shoes, and I don't know why she's looking at her shoes, and she looked back, and she got this big grin on her face. And I said, does that mean anything to you? And she said, when I was growing up, I was the youngest of four children, and we were very poor. And I always got the hand-me-down shoes. I never got new shoes. And she said, whenever I got a good pair of shoes, I'd always take them and put them under my pillow to make sure that none of my other sisters would steal them, because I never had gotten new shoes. And I said, just see how much the Lord loves you. And I said, what I'm hearing is the Lord's giving you new shoes because he has so much more yet for you to do in this life. And she said, you know, my pastor just told me that about a month ago, that I have a whole lot more left to do in this life. And I said, well, the Lord just confirmed that for you. And you think, God is so good. He's so good, so involved in every single step of our life. And so what I want to hopefully do with you and along with you is, I want to go for it. 100% full bore, just go for it. And I'm going to say something that might sound really odd to you, but don't leave. Just please don't leave. Just don't leave. There's a man by the name of Derek Prince, and I don't know if that name's familiar to any of you. But in one of his early talks, He shared about the fact that he was doing this conference that had to do with inner healing and physical healing and deliverance. And he started talking, and he was just a little ways into it, and he stopped, and he said, there may be some of you looking at me right now and might say, I don't know that I really like you. I don't know that I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you sound. There's just something about you. And he said, you know, I just want you to consider this possibility. You don't even know me. Where do you think that might be coming from? So I just am aware that as we go for it, going for it is, it's kind of like having one another's back. Really having one another's back, and to realize that in going for it, it's all out full bore, because it's all about him and what he wants to do. He's a gracious God. And he so much wants to say, Lord, you are my shepherd, and you are all I want. You're all I want. Him on full display. Amen.